Blog Talk Radio.
What a bunch of bullshit.
What a bunch of bullshit. Yes, absolute bullshit, right? It is Tuesday, March the 3rd, 2015. I hope you guys have had a good few weeks. I know it's been lonely without me, right? We've had one special show this year. And as of, I'm clearing my throat as always because, you know, that's, you know, as soon as you get on the air, the most professional thing you can do is start clearing the crap out of your throat. Anyway, we are back. After a bit of a hiatus, I took some time off for the holidays and enjoyed it so much that I let it run through pretty much all of January and February. So we're back with a regular show as of tonight. Tonight's guests are Don Jameson of That Metal Show. I've got a pre-recorded interview that we did a few days ago. I'm going to play at the bottom of the show. And I've got on the show live tonight with me my brother from another mother. He's back. My very first guest and one of my recurring guests, Erie Vaughn of Danzig, will be on. As well as filmmaker Chris Hulbert, and we are going to be discussing a upcoming project that we're all involved in that we're very excited about. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. So Monday I come home to this box on in front of my door, and it's got stickers all over it, and Misfits stickers just all over the box, like really old school, like an old school punk rock downtown window or you know, light pole, you know, with all the shit all over it. So I open it up, and Jerry Only has sent me, like, a bunch of Misfits toys and shirts and CDs and all this great stuff. And I have to say, eight-year-old me, it's like a Christmas morning, you know, getting a box from one of the Misfits, you know, addressed to me at my door. You know, I don't geek out very often, but I have to say that was a geek-out moment. Even knowing the guy, getting a little care package was pretty cool. So I had to share that with you. I don't know why. I guess because I'm a dork, but, you know, dork power is activated. Anyway, I tell you what I'm going to do. We've got a lot to cover in 1 hour, so I'm going to go ahead and call Erie and get him in, and Chris will be calling in a few minutes, and we will get going. So as usual, I'm going to do this professionally and not even try to, you know, like block out any of this shit while I'm doing it. So let me type the number in. You know, because I don't prepare. You know, you guys get what you paid for. You got in for free, so, you know, just enjoy it. We're going to let the dial tone happen the whole bit. So there you go. So we're calling Mr. Vaughn. We're going to bring a ray of sunshine onto this show. This is awesome. Riveting. Let me text him. You know, knowing Erie, he probably doesn't realize that it's not the same number that I usually call him from. Answer your phone. Text me while we're calling. So, you know, professional as always. That's okay. I forget the outgoing call.
Hello?
Hey, this
Hello?
Is Brian. Hello, this is
hey,
Brian.
Man. I don't think that he realized that he left you in bed with me.
Really? So, fascinating, because we're on the air in bed. That is awesome.
Oh, shit. You're on the air?
Yeah, how you doing?
Wow, it's doing okay. We're making some drinks. I'm looking at some photos. Erie Vaughn! I don't think that he knew that you left you in bed with me. He's going to regret this. If only
you know,
have time
is.
To ask, like.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, I haven't been in bed with you in a while. How's it been? How are you doing?
Oh, you know, lately it's great.
yeah,
I mean, you
yeah.
should be here. Mm-hmm.
I should.
Lately,
I mean,
the in-bedness has been fabulous.
Good. I guess I won't see you guys until October, but then, of course, I'll be up for the thing.
October. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if the wedding goes in October, then we're good. If it doesn't, I don't know. Yvonne, you do realize that I'm talking to Brian on air, right?
On
and
the air.
You can come in here. On
oh
the
God.
Air, Yvonne.
On the live air. You know,
we cuss
like
on air.
Four and a half.
Because
like four and
there's
a half
like
people listening right now.
Four and a half people. No, there's more than that.
At least four and a half people. Maybe five and a half.
Gary, if you don't come get this phone soon, I'm going to have to keep talking to Brian, which, it, you know,
yeah.
That's difficult for me.
Wow, really?
Oh,
really?
He says, why don't I just hang up?
Yeah, really. I think that would be about as interesting as it, you know, it seems like it is right now.
Hey,
now Chris is trying to
I'm
call.
I'm more interesting than Ari Vaughn. Hey, have you seen our pictures?
This is true.
We've got a billion more to come. Isn't he
I
a
saw
pretty
your pictures.
Boy?
Yeah, they look good. You cleaned him up pretty well.
Yeah, right here. You left it in bed with me. This is your phone. Connect
Jesus.
To my head. Brian Stewart online. Live on radio.
Live.
I talk to Gary now.
you know, not
I'm,
really.
I'm,
I really don't. I talk
well, well you know,
every
I don't
day.
Blame you. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I know.
As often
I understand.
I
have to live with him every day. However, Brian, my love to you, I am going to hand you over to the old man.
All right, old lady. Talk to you later.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Talk to me when you got 15, 18 years. Oh, wait, 18 years difference between you and your son. All right. Here you go,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Hold the phone. You can do it.
Come on.
Not
come on.
Can
you raise the phone to your
really?
Ear?
Did you call
oh
her?
Oh, my God. This is what we get for live radio. This is quality shit right here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, judging by all your other radio shows, I guess it probably is.
Yeah, right. Hey, thanks for bringing a ray of sunshine in here, Killjoy. Yeah, I was doing perfectly fine in bed with Mel, and then you blew it.
I was
That's
in the other room
said.
Trying to get ready to do this, you know, ridiculous interview that we're going to do.
Oh, yeah, we're going to – oh, Chris is already calling in, so we're going to have Holbert on here, too. So this will be good. We can gang up on him.
All right, so are we on the air?
Yeah, we are on the air. I mean, this is professionalism at its finest. Chris, are you with us?
You got to gang up on us. I got Wesley here, man. I got backup.
Oh,
okay, well you
that.
Know, yeah. Okay, whatever.
Well, we've got Mel, so it doesn't matter. So, Erie Vaughn, Chris Hulbert.
Yes.
We also have with us. Who else do we have with us? I couldn't hear you.
Wesley Pryor, the director. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Wes. How's it going? Wesley Pryor, the director of this Albatross.
That's right. Nice to talk to you again. And we've been working all afternoon on some stuff, and it's really looking good.
Cool. So why don't you tell all the kids out there in blind television land exactly what this project is?
What is this? Well, I guess this all started about 2011 when I met Erie, and he handed me over this, you know, awesome amount of footage, behind-the-scenes stuff, personal home movies, you know, even his photography of the Misfit starting back from when he was at an early age. And it kind of just over, you know, some drinks and talking, we said, hey, let's put something together with this. And he was like, I've been wanting to do this for forever, and next thing you know, here we are trying to make this a reality.
Cool. And so now I understand that we've got a Kickstarter beginning the end of this week. Is that right?
That is correct.
Next week?
We are hopefully end of this week. We're looking at launching on Thursday. We really want to get this out for the fans over the weekend. And Erie is also going to be doing a Ask Erie session on the Misery Perfectum Facebook page. So we want to get everybody to come out and actually get on the page and interact with Erie, and we're going to answer, you know, a lot of questions that people have been wondering, especially over the past 3 years in the development of this documentary.
And actually, I would like to go ahead and get the first and most important and relevant question in line for Ask Erie. Erie, how is it that you, being you, managed to get such an awesome good friend like me, you know, on your side? That's a good question to start with. Let's open with that.
Well, let me just say this about that. What are we talking to? Like, what's your listening listenership?
There's
what do you
like,
got, like 10 people on this?
I guarantee you there's at least 2.5 people listening. So by all means, blast away.
I checked it out.
Yeah, well, besides your mom, you know, or, you know, do we have anybody else listening
No.
You see, I'm listening.
That's all. Actually, it's actually a private conversation that I.
Well, two and a half people. That'd be
right
me,
now.
You, and Wesley. Yeah.
I count two people.
Exactly. That's great. Yeah.
You can decide amongst yourself which is the half. You know.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a train wreck when I booked all of, you know, like a moronathon for the show. So, hey, you know, I think with the four of us, this is going to be brilliant.
You think you're so smart.
I do. I tie my own shoes. I don't wear Velcro
Yeah,
shoes.
Who tells you that? Your kids?
Vicky tells me you're so smart? Vicky tells me I'm smart every day.
I met Vicky. She's not that bright.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll be sure to pass that on.
Sorry, Vicky. I was just using it for comedy fodder, you know.
Yeah, he says nothing.
He doesn't love you. He never says anything nice about you. I don't know how you put up with him all this time.
Wait, you're married? Somebody actually, like, wanted to keep you for the rest of your life?
Bitch, I've been married for 20 years. What are you talking about?
Oh.
And every day I wake up and thank her and Jesus for another day because neither one of them killed me in my sleep.
So, in the words of a good friend of mine, did she lose a bet?
Yeah, I think she probably did. And Jesus has nothing to do with this.
Oh, really? Okay. So,
not for nothing, but I think Jesus has a little bit more to do than worry about your relationship.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I'm pretty special. So anyway,
yeah, special ed.
I'm going to take this derailed train that's flying out into the pasture and try to aim it toward this, you know, school of innocent children to smash into and ask real questions now. So, as far as this documentary, what can people expect from what you guys are compiling?
Okay,
yeah,
Wes,
look at that
you take
professional
it.
Shit right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that
Go
was
Wes.
Good, Brian.
Take it, Wes.
Thank you.
You
thank
you. Me to take it, huh? Okay, first of all, here we go. Brian?
Yeah, can we speak up a little bit? It's hard to hear
you,
buddy.
There we go. All right, here we go. I was going to ask you, first, before we get into that, man, this is going so well. Can we, like, do a morning show?
We could, but I know at least I'm not awake in the mornings.
Oh, okay. I just thought we might be doing drive time.
Well,
I'm only awake in the mornings if I'm still awake, you know.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
how it works here. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I'm not getting paid, you know, I already did radio in Nashville. I'm not getting paid for 2 hours of, like, you know, hilarity. So I'm not
like
going to do it now.
A bunch of walkers.
And I will say hilarity does ensue every time we're on the phone together or the radio. So just, you know, just know.
No, it happens when we're not on the radio.
It does. It's Erie and I together is something that we really should charge admission for, but we're letting you putzes on here for free. So
Right.
I always wanted to have my own. I always wanted to have my own show, and you know, over the years, I've decided on like second bananas, and I think you'd definitely be a good one. You know.
Oh yeah, I'd be a good first banana.
George and Gracie. Yeah, you could be the Texas redneck version, Creepy Vern.
Yeah, well, you'd have to be Gracie.
Yeah, well, I do fill out a dress pretty well, let me tell you. And
yeah,
by the way,
really, it's...
You
yes.
just called me a redneck. That is, I think, the most offensive thing.
I did not call you a redneck.
No, Chris
did.
Chris called me a redneck.
Oh.
I think that's the most offensive thing.
Oh, well,
Chris,
you know, they're still trying to find Chris, you know, on Discovery Channel. They're not really sure about Chris. You know,
Bigfoot,
like, really, does Bigfoot exist?
I'm kind of like Bigfoot.
See,
yeah, well, you would have to.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just say something serious at some point.
Okay. Let's be serious because this is absolutely the most train wreck-ish show ever. So,
I've heard your other shows. It's not that bad.
That's true. I'm actually trying to make, you know, save face. This is the same pile of shit it always is. So it's working out really well.
Okay,
yeah, I know. Well, you know, when you have no standards, you know, what can you do, you know?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, that's why I try to bring on quality comedy guests, and you see what I got stuck with.
Okay. Well,
What you were asking about is what can we expect from this documentary?
God bless you, Wes, for getting us back on track. Go, sir.
Just trying to drive the train back on the track there. Now, I tell you what, you know, in any good film, you have to start with a story. And Erie Vaughn's story is pretty fantastic. I mean, you know, the
really,
video
footage. Is it really?
It really is. I'm sorry,
okay.
But it really is. I have been a musician.
Right.
Yeah, I've been a musician all my life. I started playing professionally, played the drums. I've played professionally since I was 10. And I know
you're really old.
My God, that sounds like there's some labor issues there if you were getting paid at 10. Who are your parents?
I think
he was making sweaters and stuff and, like, Nike shoes.
He was making sweaters for Kathy Lee.
I'm not that old. But seriously, it's like, you know, we've all been out there. We've all played rock and roll. We've all been up on the stages and stuff. And, you know, and I watch this footage, man, and it's really stunning. You know, this the shows that they put together, and it's really cool to go back and see musicians that were playing in the 90s doing these shows because
–
some of the shows these years and some of the music that's out now just doesn't have the heart that they had back in those days. And that's what this film's about. It's got a lot of heart, and it's Erie Vaughn's story. And, I mean, man, you go see a story about a bass player, it's going to be cool.
Sure.
Well, that's very kind
of
you, Wes. I appreciate that, and I know, you know, why don't you move back, you know, because Chris is probably crowded, you know, behind you, you know.
We're actually
I'll
holding
we're yeah, I know. You're having a sandwich and doing a little reach around. I know.
Off track.
Don't worry, Wes. I will give you the $5 I promised you for saying something nice about Erie. Don't worry about it. I got you.
Really, I usually get more, you know.
Well, I told him for $5. He said, well, I would do it for $3, and I was like, well, I'm trying to make Erie feel important, offering a full $5 for him. So, you know, don't push it.
And I want to bring to this, Brian, what's really great about this is we're bringing back to the fans of these three bands, you know, a lot of the answers that have really been left unsaid. No one's really touched on this, and nor has anyone ever come forth to make this documentary.
Yeah.
So bringing that to the table, I think, especially in this world and today, is something that's just going to be, in the documentary world, literally blockbuster.
Yeah. Cool. So with the Kickstarter is going to start, let's see, you said Friday, this Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Is that right?
Hopefully Friday at the latest, but that's the game plan.
And they can go to the Facebook page, which is Misery Perfectum, and they can go directly to the Kickstarter from there, I'm sure, once it's set up, right?
There will be a link, and we've got a lot of artists who have already signed on to this to be part of it, which has been just really a blessing in the whole thing.
That's something that we've really it's just kind of started happening. You wouldn't believe bands like Saving Abel and, you know,
Saliva,
bands like that. Completely big fans of Danzig and, you know, all the way back to the Misfits. And so, you know, everybody's jumping on board here. So, yeah, it's going to be a really good discussion of the rock world.
And we're also bringing an original. Erie has several people that he's still friends with over these years who were the original crew back then. We have fans who have just jumped out. I'm sorry?
See, there was a joke there. You said that Erie still had friends.
Yeah, well, you missed it, Brian, like you do.
Yeah, thanks. My timing was shit there,
don't
wasn't it?
Don't make fun of Brian.
You know, and just I can bring it up today, you know, I was on several phone calls, and we literally have Shawnee Salt from White Zombie. She's on board. She's going to be launching this the same time with us to help us out. Jesse James,
cool.
Monster Garage, he's going to be on board. He was the original security for Danzig. Let's see, everybody in Saliva, Saving Abel, I mean, just list goes on and on. People from the Necros, Casey Orr from Guar, you know, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, oh, Casey's involved too. Cool. Nice. So, sounds like it's going to be worth watching. And not to mention, I know this guy that draws these really great pictures that's doing some artwork for the documentary as well. Feel free to kiss ass a little bit if you want to on the radio show. It's fine.
We found this one-armed kid from Uruguay.
Wow.
And,
see, I knew that was coming.
Yeah. That was it.
And apparently he eats with his feet and has a bad facial hair problem. But he's awesome.
Yeah. What's amazing is I was able to actually take all the pins and set them up and give you a perfectly balanced bowling ball, and you still put it right in the gutter. That was not good comedy, dude.
No, actually, Brian, your radio host here, is the one who is going to be doing the majority of the artwork for this, especially the intro to the entire documentary.
How precious.
I actually took a look at your work and thought that it was actually rather good compared to some of the other people that I looked at that were a little bit better, but you were cheaper, so we went ahead and went with you.
Wow.
Hey, Chris made a joke.
I know. Thanks for calling in, Chris. We're going to go ahead and mute you right now because I'm done with you.
No, we love you, Brian. You are a badass at your craft, sir.
Yeah.
That's why you're on board.
Yes, you are. He's on board because he's cheap. Yeah.
He's like, really, that's it. And
he's cheap and he's desperately in need of friends, you know.
Obviously, because Erie's my friend. So you can tell with the pool that I'm pulling from, I really do need some friends. So anybody out there in Radio Land that's listening, I need a friend. I need a hug.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What are you complaining about? Jerry freaking sent you toys yesterday. What are you talking about?
Earlier this week I got this cool, really great box of Misfits toys from, you know, Jerry was nice enough to send me over some action figures and CDs and T-shirts. And, I'm thoroughly misfitted out now. So, yeah, always fun. There's another project I'm actually working on with Jerry. I can't talk about it on the radio yet, but something really cool in the works happening there. I look forward to spilling the bag of beans when I can about that. So I've got my hands
for your
in a
eyes
few different...
only?
it's just another Lodi project. You know, it's funny. I'm all the way down here in Texas, and I got my hands in New Jersey. So we'll see. As soon as I can announce it, I will.
Fair enough.
Yeah, very exciting, very cryptic. Wow, a lot of really exciting things happening. So, Erie, earlier when I was in bed with Mel, what were you doing? Why could you not make it to the phone on time? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
Oh, because I was on the computer, you know, and I was moving from one room to the next, you know, so... She got on the phone with you because you didn't think I would be able to call in, and you know, so that was it.
Yeah.
That's as far as it went.
Yeah.
And if you get Mel on the phone, it's you never know.
You never know. It was quality radio though. It was.
Oh, well, so, that's good.
Yeah. I'm going to try and rein this back in a little bit. So, Chris, in the past. Tell us exactly what is your film background and how did you get involved in this wacky?
Yeah, I want to know that too.
I think it's all a bunch of bull. But
I want
to
know that too,
like,
because he says this stuff, you know, but I don't really believe him, you know.
I don't either. So this is sort of like a litmus test, brother. Let's see if the paper turns.
It's a little bit too scientific for your audience. Okay, but go ahead.
Probably was.
It all started back around the silent film era when I first got my start as a young PA.
Yes, when they got that first footage of Bigfoot. That's, you know. You didn't have a lot of speaking parts in that film. You know, you just looked back over your shoulder and they went, yeah, I think that's Chris. He lives in Birmingham.
Well, they gave him a bunch of blank pieces of paper for a script because they knew that's all he could read.
For 30 years to the 50s.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm on a serious note. I actually started my background in broadcast news. I was a graphic designer and a videographer for NBC 13 in Birmingham.
Were you a weatherman?
No, I didn't, but I knew the weatherman. He was right next door to me.
How well did you know the weatherman?
Well enough to know that the weather was not accurate.
Okay.
But anyway, that moved briefly.
I didn't know
stayed
if I was
there.
Supposed to laugh then or not.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like a funny ha-ha. It was like a funny hee.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I didn't know what you meant for me there, but I was ready for you, buddy.
Yeah, so I moved into doing live concerts, was filming actually in a large venue in Birmingham called Workplay. and did a lot of editing and stuff like that over the years, and ended up moving to Nashville to start doing muscle car television, which was kind of my background. I've always been a gearhead, so I love that stuff. And fast forward from that, I ended up doing more music videos, live concerts. I've worked on two motion pictures in my time. One was actually in high school, which was the Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake. And I worked on a film in it called Crossroads.
Whoa. Back up. You worked on the Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake.
Yes, I did. I was actually an uncredited rep that worked for a couple of weekends.
We're talking about the Philip Kaufman one.
Yes, the one with Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, well, basically Chris got coffee and, you know, stuff like that.
That would have been nice. Oh, okay. I was moving giant lighting cables.
And learning.
It's a pity you never learned anything from that.
I
was a big horror movie and sci-fi guy, and I just really got lucky with a guy who went to my high school who was in, actually started out and brought me in for a few weekends out of it. So that was my first official step into the film world.
Nice, okay.
And it's all been downhill since then.
Yeah, I met you, and it just was like, oh, my God, here we go.
Yeah, you walked into that one, Erie.
Yeah. Oh, please. Like, that would bother me.
I know. You got to let him have one. So, what is your background, sir?
Wesley, that's what you're
talking about, me? Oh, okay. Well, my background is this. My background is totally into music.
Okay.
Okay, totally into music. And when you're a musician out on the road, you know, of course, you play at nighttime. So what do you do during the day? You go see movies. And
you sleep.
I'm just a big movie buff, you know. And then I got interested in how they make these movies and, you know, what is this and what is that. So I moved to Nashville in 1990, and I was able to do some acting, and I got into a film. Do you guys remember Goodfellas?
Yeah.
I believe I remember a little film called Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Okay, yeah, with Martin Scorsese. Well, I wasn't in that one. That's a great film, but that's not the one I was in. But I just wonder if you remembered that. But the one that
I could do that, too. You remember The Godfather? Yeah. Yeah, well, I wasn't in that, but, you know.
Yeah. My first film that I was in was a little film well-known called Ernest Scared Stupid, and I got a part in that.
I would say I was in Goodfellas, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, why doesn't that surprise me?
Right. But I ended up in that film. Just
come on, I hear
director.
Chris laughing.
Yeah, he's laughing. I ended
Erie,
up you watching.
Erie has put together a crack team of filmmakers here.
Yeah. We got some guy who went to Ernest Goes to Camp and Bigfoot. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, man. But here's the thing, I ended up just watching the director, and I just got totally interested in what he was doing and how he was running this thing. So I just kind of started learning from that and then started putting things together, and then ended up fast forward a few years, and I put together a documentary and won the audience award and a bunch of stuff like that, and learned that early on that it's about the story, and that's what I was telling you. You've got to have a good story, or nobody's going to sit there and watch your film. And
did you work on the Hank Ballard movie with Greg? You know,
Hank Cochran.
My mistake.
Yeah, Hank Cochran. Yeah, and did some really good stuff with that. We had some really good people in that. Willie Nelson, Elvis Costello, a lot of.
Yeah, I remember. I watched it a couple times. Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's the story. So, and I love documentaries. And then, you know, when Chris came up with all these photos one day, he says, take a look at this. And we started, kind of putting all this together. And
careful,
you know,
Chris walks up with a handful of photos and says, look at this. There's shit you can't unsee.
Exactly. It's like a wreck. You can't look away. And so... You know,
that's what I think about Chris. You know, I mean, he's such like a train wreck. I can't look away.
You can't look away, man. But anyway, I just kind of started, you know, saying, you know, hey, man, this could make this, this could do this. And he goes, you want to direct this? I'm like, yeah, I do. And so I went and
I'd like to make no money.
We're not into any money. Well, we're just talking about putting the thing together. He's going to make money.
We put this thing together because we love him so much, and no one's going to make any money, and it was just going to be eventually you'll all just hate me, you know.
Well, you know, that's...
eventually? What are you talking about?
That's a given.
But
what are you going to do?
It's like when he brought this stuff to me, and I was just like, I got really interested in it, and I'm like, well, we're so far into it, we have got to make this thing happen, and it's just getting stronger and stronger. So, I think we're going to have a great film here.
Yeah, and Erie's run out of
time. Well, after you put so much time into something, after we put so much time into something, you want to see it come to fruition, you know.
Right,
but. If it does, great.
Yeah, as far as the documentary itself and the structure, most of your life.
All right, let's get back on topic, okay?
Yeah, now I wanted to ask, as far as the documentary and the structure, how much nudity are we talking here?
Oh, I'd say 33%, right?
Oh, the stuff that's in these tapes, my friend, oh my gosh, especially Hamburg, Germany, let me tell you what, that's some special stuff.
Hey, listen, let me just throw this out. We almost renamed this 50 Shades of Beige.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it would be 50 Shades of Black, you know.
Of black. There's none blacker.
No, definitely
not. Yeah, moving on. Moving on. So how many hours of footage are you going to be whittling through approximately to make this happen?
Oh, jeez. We're probably looking, there's at least, I'd say, 40, 50 tapes, maybe more than that, and that doesn't even include the DVDs and the VHSs and the Betamax. I estimated out about 100 hours of footage, and there's some stuff, some of this footage has sat either in Erie's basement or somewhere, so some of it is degenerated. We actually, one of the reasons we're pulling up, trying to get the funding for this is because we have to restore all this footage. And there's so much amazing behind-the-scenes stuff that I'm still just floored with running across. And just to give a taste to the people who are listening, when Jesse James was out with Danzig and White Zombie, there's actually a clip of him stage diving. Everybody literally moves like they don't know what the hell stage diving is, and he busts his ass and breaks his elbow.
I remember that.
That sounds painful, actually.
There's
a lot of stuff that, like people don't get to see, I remember Metallica doing, behind the scenes footage, like before the concert and stuff, like here's Metallica backstage or whatever, but they don't show the kind of stuff that I have, that really shows Glenn, Jesse, all those characters in the film that like you'd never seen them before, because it was unguarded, it was just on the fly, and this is stuff that people they would love to see, so that's what we're trying to do too, and tell my story, as it went, because we're not doing the Misfit story, we're not doing the Sam Hain story, we're doing my story just based on my book Misery Obscura. And that's what we're doing. We want to show all this stuff, and just see how it, it could be you, it could be me, it could be anybody, this how it worked out, it just happened to be that I was in these bands and ran across all these famous people and stuff, and we were all friends and all. So we're trying to get that point across and not just focus on, another film that could be made by somebody else, but this is my film. So that's what Chris and Wes want to do. They think it's interesting, and I think the fans would like it. And, that's what we're trying to do.
The footage itself, were you pretty consistent about when you were shooting? Is there going to be some stuff around the time you were photographing the Misfits? Is there going to be a lot of stuff from Sam Hain? Is it going to be a lot of stuff from Danzig after Danzig? Or is it going to be heavy in one area, or do you have a lot of stuff from all those eras?
Well, I have the photos from Misfits, and then, of course, I was in Sam Hain, so, there's you know, some fan photos and stuff. And I also took a lot of the promo photos for Samhain. But most of my footage is Danzig, like, in the studio, on the road, stuff you'd never see, you know. And some of it has been leaked on YouTube, but not a lot of it. There's like, you know, us recording and us, you know, just being, like, normal and joking around and all that. And I think people really would like to see, you know, how the songs evolve, you know. And we have some footage of that, you know, early versions of the songs and how they played out eventually, you know. So, you know, that's interesting if you're a fan of, you know, music and particularly of any of these bands. You know, so we have a lot of that stuff, but it's mostly the Danzig stuff, and, I think it's interesting. I mean, the reason I shot it is because we were supposed to be, like, the next biggest band, you know, so I thought somebody might want to see this, you know, at some point, and hopefully we'll be able to get all that stuff out, you know, because it's fun, and it's interesting, and I know the fans would love it. You know?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
as much as
we like to joke back and forth and I want to bust your balls, you're right. I mean, you guys, at that time, you were one of the biggest bands, and it was interesting because of all the big bands of that era, we've seen behind-the-scenes footage or documentaries of most of those bands, and Danzig is one that seems like we've really not seen behind the curtain very much to actually see what the Wizard of Oz really looks like. So it'll be interesting.
You know, what I want to put out here real quick is I want to, you know, first off, compliment Erie on the fact that he started this out. I don't know if this was something that was instilled in him by his father, because I know your dad shot photography, but just the fact that at such a young age, you really jumped in there and you documented, you know, not just the stuff you like to do for fun and shoot, you know, you're shooting around the high school and things like that, but you were photographing Rosemary's Babies. You were actively participating in the punk scene at that moment. You were shooting the Misfits. And you went on to be in a band that ended up exploding and literally was, you know, one of the biggest bands of the era. And not only that, but in y'all's coattails, all these huge bands came right behind you that were in their infancy, like White Zombie and Marilyn Manson and Soundgarden and Caius, you know, all that
Papa
stuff.
Negative,
just,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And now these guys are all, I mean, Queens of the Stone Age, come on. I mean, you know, all these major acts that are just freaking exploding.
Yeah, all Korn, you know, and, you know, like the other bands, you know. There's plenty of bands, you know, because that was one of the things that Glenn always wanted. He wanted up-and-coming bands to, you know, have a voice or a platform so they can be seen. And we did a lot of that. So it's like, you know, this band is good. Let's put them on tour with us. And we did that a lot, you know. And so I shot footage and here and there and stuff. But, you know, if you were an opening act and, you know, you just had to put up with, you know, me and whatever, you know, being a pain in the ass, you know, which I did with all the bands, you know. But
like you do.
Yeah. But it is, you know, it's a really great story. And there's, you know, there's so many great bands that have come and gone, you know, maybe some of them aren't as relevant as they were at the particular time, but, you know, it was always fun because everybody was sort of up and coming and it was really exciting to see what they're going to do. And then when they went on to eclipse us, you know, it was still fun. I didn't have any problems with that. It was just like, yeah, good band, you know, they should get what they deserve, you know?
Well, I'm, all kidding aside, I'm really excited to be a part of the project. I think the project's going to be a lot of fun to work on, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the finished product when it is out there. And I think people are going to really be excited about this, you know. All promo aside, you know, as just a fan, I don't see where myself or anybody else that was a fan of these bands at the time wouldn't want to see this. So I think it's going to be killer.
Thank you. This is going to be good.
Yeah, I think so. Guys, tell everybody, I've got just a few more minutes, and then I'm going to have Don Jameson from the Metal Show's interview on.
Oh, why don't you keep me on the phone, Brian, while you have Don on?
Well, Don's is pre-recorded, or we would totally do it.
Oh, all right.
I had to record his a little earlier, so, yeah, it didn't work out. But I'll try and get you and Don back on at the same time sometime down the road.
Yeah, no big deal. I just thought it was, it might be fun.
It would have been. But, yeah, he's a fun dude. While I've got you guys, though, tell me how they can get to beyond Kickstarter. Is there any way right now people can go ahead and start checking this out and, you know, get involved to get ready? Go, Chris or Wes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing is keeping up with, obviously, Erie Vaughn's pages and Misery Perfectum. We've got that going. If we get the funding, everything goes the way it's going to go, we will be launching a website immediately to literally so the fans can follow our progression and see what's going on. So we will have all that up. We're also going to have a Twitter account that will be active starting this weekend that Erie will be learning to manage himself.
Way to go, Erie.
Technology.
Oh, hey.
And that's pretty much what we're going to be doing. A lot of social media, and also be looking on all your favorite like guitar magazines online, things like that. We've got a marketing firm working directly with us to help push this out and get this to the masses worldwide.
Awesome. Hey guys, thanks for calling in. It was a lot of fun. I think we finally re-railed the train and actually turned this into somewhat of a show. Yeah, that's one thing about it. When everybody knows each other, it's easy to let this thing turn into a big ball busting session and not an actual show. But I think we did pretty good.
It was a good mix.
Yeah, it was a good mix of bits and bullshit. Hey, guys, I'm going to switch over to this Don Jamieson interview. I appreciate everything, and be sure to check out the webpage. Go to Misery Perfectum on Facebook, and later this week or first of next week, I think, if there's any problems, you can start donating your coins. So stop smoking, stop drinking Cokes, stop paying your child support. Let your light bill get, you know, let it go. Cut that shit off and send the money where it needs to be sent, and that's for us to get this film made. You know, don't worry about the baby. The mom can go, you know, sell the gold in her teeth or whatever to buy milk for the baby. You put your money into this film. Let's keep our priorities straight, America. Thanks for listening, guys.
I love it.
Please don't feed the children. Please feed us, because you're just sending your money to Sally Struthers.
Exactly. Please don't feed this. That's what we need to do is get Sally Struthers to cry for this documentary. I think that you're onto something there.
Hey, I'm on it.
All right, make that happen. All right, guys, I appreciate you, and I will talk to you guys later. Good night.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
right,
Brian.
Guys,
I appreciate it.
You take care.
Sure,
man. Mary.
Bye.
All right, see ya.
All right, guys. See ya. All right, everybody's gone, and it's just us again. So here's what's going to happen, guys. I'm going to switch over in just a second to a proper interview that's even been edited. There are no ums and ahs and there's no clearing of the throat. It's brilliant. Unlike the first 45 minutes of the show, you're actually going to enjoy the last 15 minutes. We did this interview Ramon style. We got in, we got out, we got shit done. The interview, it's a little bit antiquated now because the first episode of That Metal Show is ran. But Don and I had a great conversation about some of the stuff that's coming out, what's going on. I hope you enjoy it. I'm just going to let the show play out with this interview, but I want to just first say thanks to Erie, thanks to Wes and Chris for coming on to talk about this cool project that we're all involved in. Again, go to Facebook, go to Misery Perfectum and check it out, please. Also, Fangoria.com, see what we're up to, and you can come see us at Texas Frightmare Weekend. Myself and Becca will be there at Texas Frightmare repping Fangoria, and I will also be at the Permian Basin Comic Con in not this weekend, but next weekend in Odessa, Texas. So if you're in Odessa, Texas, or anywhere nearby in a neighboring country like even Bolivia, come on over to Odessa, Texas, and check it out and say hi. It'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, here is myself and Don Jamieson.
Brian, what's happening, dude?
Man, not much. Just got back from a show and trying to catch my breath. Always these conventions.
Yeah, well, yeah, it takes it out of you because, you know, you're like sort of, you know, you're working and schmoozing and mingling all day, and then there's always events at night, and then, you know, you're up again early the next day, and it's just, you know, it's just sort of a boot camp for 3 days, and then you get home, and you're like, man, I need to, you know, chill out, you know, but you were just at a convention, I know, but there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy how just standing and talking to people for 3 days, it sounds silly, but if you've done it, it takes a lot out of you. It's just like draining. It's weird.
Yeah, but the good thing is that's how you and I met, and you know, we said we got to do this podcast, and so here we are doing it, which is good.
Here we are. That's right. So tell me about that metal show. You guys starting to tape soon, or you've already started taping?
Yeah, our new episode airs February 21st on VH1 Classic at 9 p.m. We've moved up 2 hours. It's only taken 7 years, but we're moving up on the schedule. And
like the Jeffersons, man, you're moving on up.
Moving on up, and yeah, man, it's just, you know, more heavy metal hijinks. I'm not sure when this is people hear this, but our first episode is Geddy Lee from Rush, so it's cool to have Geddy come back again. He was on in the early days with us when we were just sort of finding our way. And,
I remember, yeah.
You know, it took him 5.5 years to come back, so but we're lucky to have him. And John Petrucci from Dream Theater is the guest guitar player on the show, and we have a special guest walk-on from Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, so it's an action-packed show.
Yeah, that's a nice spread as far as the spectrum, too.
Yeah, so, you know, you got the Prague geeks will go crazy over, you know, a member from Dream Theater and, of course, Rush. And,
sure.
You know, and then, you know, John Petrucci's geeking out about Geddy being there, and we're geeking out about everybody being there. So, and then you got the classic British, you know, hard rock band, Def Leppard. So, yeah, you got a nice little mix in there.
Yeah, that's a good way to start a season. Backing up a little bit, how did you go from comedian to that metal show?
Yeah, man, I always wanted to mix those two worlds, you know, because it's like that's the only metal and hard rock's the only stuff I've ever listened to, you know, to this day. You know, I don't, you know, when I'm not, you know, on set and interviewing, you know, Geddy Lee or Slash or Alice Cooper or whoever, you know, I don't come home and put Katy Perry on, you know, like, because this is, you know, that music is my life, you know, since I picked up Kiss Destroyer when I was 9, and I said, well, forget about it, this is the coolest thing ever, you know. I started doing comedy, you know, 18 plus years ago, and I said, one day I want to mix these two worlds, you know, my two favorite things, comedy and hard rock and metal. So it just was a matter of, you know, hooking up with the right dudes, you know, and Florentine is, you know, huge metal fan and comedian, and we got our straight guy, Eddie Trunk, who's the, you know, Mr. Metal Knowledge, Mr. Metal Mind, and, you know, we just developed a nice chemistry with each other, and
yeah.
You know, we're in season 14 now of the show, which is incredible.
That's a lot of seasons for a lot less years. That's impressive right there.
Well, we're like porn stars, man. We just bang these shows out, man.
That's right. So years ago, starting out doing comedy, where did you start out at? Were you in New York?
Yeah, New York, New Jersey area.
Okay.
Just, you know, doing, you know, bars and, you know, Elks clubs and firehouses and, you know, anywhere that had a microphone. Even places that didn't have a microphone. I did one gig, like, up in the Bronx once in the basement of a bar on, like, a Tuesday night, and I stood on a case of beer and just yelled at the crowd. I mean, when you start out, you just take any gig, and, you know, now if I perform on a case of beer, I at least get a microphone.
Do you at least get one beer out of the case when you step off, too?
Yeah, I think I was standing on, like, you know, Bud Light back then, and, you know, now I get to stand on, like, a fancy craft beer.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, if I was standing on Bud Light, I'd just get down and walk off. I wouldn't even take one.
Hey, but that was, you know, that was $50, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a big payday, back, you know, when you first start out. Man, I'm going to make $50, you know? So, but, you know, it's just like anything, man. You start at the bottom and you hopefully work your way up. And, you know, these two worlds of music and comedy have always was something that I wanted to put together. And I even do it now when I go out on the road and I open for bands. And, you know, I do nights where I'll, you know, do a whole night in a club with bands playing, and I'll do my comedy, and, you know, I just love stuff like that, man, because it keeps it interesting, you know. It's, you know, rather than just seeing 9 of the same band in a row, it's like, hey, we're going to do some comedy, too, and I do a lot of music-related comedy, you know. I do have lots of material about bands and stuff, so
yeah.
it really works nicely, you know.
It's really great when you get paid to do what you enjoy, and when you can make a path. And really, in a way, I guess you sort of forced the two worlds together for your own benefit, and that's really cool when you can pull that off.
Well, look, all the advice, you know, that I followed in my life and my career all came from Lemmy from Motorhead. So, you know, he just always had the best tidbits about, you know, being in show business. Like, you know, they ask him, what do you attribute Motorhead's longevity to? And he's like, well, if you don't quit, they can't get rid of you. such a simple thing, but it's like, he's right, you know. So it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to be a comedian, and if I don't quit, they can't get rid of me, you know. So that's the way I've just always approached it. Like, you know, they have a song, don't let them bastards grind you down, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another, you know, thing I've always lived my life by, you know, don't let anybody, you know, kick your hopes and dreams, man.
Well said. Is there any new music out there that's really gotten you excited? Any new bands? Because
yeah, man, there's a lot. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, last year was a good year for some new music. You know, some of the bands that I'm really digging, there's a band called King, K-Y-N-G.
Yep, I'm familiar.
Yeah, just straight up hard rock and roll. You know, nothing fancy, just good American hard rock. They're a three-piece. They're tremendous. There's a band called, sort of the same vibe, but maybe a little trippier, a little more Zeppelin-y type, is a band called Crobot out of Pennsylvania. Dig what they're doing. Sort of a retro sound, retro feel, but with a modern sound to it. And, there was some great female stuff going on in 2014, you know, and looking forward to all these bands making another step in 2015. But a band called The Pretty Reckless,
mm-hmm.
Which is fronted by a woman named Taylor Momsen, who some people might know from, the acting world and stuff. But
right.
She's the real deal in music, man. I'll tell you that, man. They put out a killer album. So those are sort of my three favorite right now.
You know, and as far as, like, classic rock that's still out there, you know, the new AC/DC album is as strong as anything they've done in 20 years, in my opinion.
It was crazy, man.
It was
Brian
phenomenal.
Johnson sounds like he's in his 20s again.
I know.
You know, it really is incredible, man. I mean, AC/DC is another one where I've sort of taken my comedic style from. Like, you know, like, I know three chords. That's it. You know, that's what I do best. You know, like, if you listen to my comedy albums, you would be like, didn't he say this on the last one? And I didn't, but I did sort of touch on the same themes, but I just do them in a different way. And that's the same thing with AC/DC. It's like they play three chords, and, you know, unless somebody throws a B sharp minor at them, you know, nothing's going to stop them. So I just love that about them. They've never changed, and, you know, it's just always good.
It is. I was just, you know, I picked it up because it's just what you do with the AC/DC album comes out, you go pick it up. I mean, especially even with Malcolm not in the band, right, you know, and writing, and it seemed like it was still just as fresh.
Yeah, well, he, you know, look, we talk about that on that metal show on the premiere episode, you know, because he's out of the band and Phil Rudd's out of the band, so it's,
yeah.
You know, it's like they're going out as AC this year, you know.
Right.
It's crazy, but... But, you know, Stevie Young is their nephew, and, you know, he was given the thumbs up from Malcolm to, like, go out and do it. And so that's really important that Malcolm said, yes, I put the stamp of approval. You guys should go out. You know, Malcolm and Angus wrote all the songs on the new album, so that's why, you know, you're still going to feel Malcolm in the songs, even though he wasn't able to play on them.
It's been out a little while now, but as far as more classic rock... if you've had a chance to check out the new Ace Frehley album, it's like that second 78 solo record.
Yeah, true. And it's funny, you know, you're saying, you know, classic rock, and it's funny because, you know, for people who haven't seen that metal show and think, oh, I don't really like heavy metal, you know, or whatever, you know, you're calling AC/DC classic rock, and that's what's funny is, like, a lot of the bands we have on now are classic rock. I mean, AC/DC is considered classic rock.
Sure,
you know,
they are.
Guns N' Roses is considered classic rock. Metallica is now considered classic rock.
I know.
So, you know, we really try to, you know, encompass all those worlds on the show, you know, on our show. It's not just, you know, if people are thinking we have Slayer on every week, we don't, even though I would love that, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
So if you like anything from Styx to Slayer, you know, we're going to cover it on the show.
Yeah, there's some great, you know, current metal bands out there like Skeleton Witch and Amon Amarth, but, you know, it's interesting how that metal show has been able to blend that evenly with an appearance by Blackie Lawless or Peter Criss or even, you know, Geddy on this new show. But it works.
Yeah, well, if you listen to, you know, a band like, you know, Amon Amarth or Skeleton Witch, I mean, you're going to hear the influences from the classic bands in their music, even though, you know, they're a lot heavier and they're a little more progressive. But you're going to hear Iron Maiden in their music, and you're going to hear Black Sabbath in what they do. So, you know, it's you can always sort of put it in a context of the classic bands. You know, they've all, you know, sort of wear their influences on their sleeves.
Oh, absolutely. It's sort of like Metallica and Megadeth built off of Black Sabbath, and I guess you could say Skeleton Witch sort of built off of that, because, you know, those Megadeth type, you know, melodic, you know, solos and all that stuff still there. It's just a lot, and it always heavies up the music just with the way it's sung, you know, a lot
yeah,
of times.
Exactly. And I do like the heavier stuff, but yeah, as you know, we try to work in it, you know, as much as we can on our show. But yeah, we're, you know, it's VH1 Classic, so we really are based in the classic bands. And you know, this season's no different, man. It's going to be a real diverse lineup. I mean, we're even going to have, you know, DMC from Run DMC to come on and talk about, you know, basically reviving Aerosmith's career, you know, when they did the Walk This Way video. I mean, you know, if you read any of the Aerosmith books, I mean, every guy in that band will tell you to a guy, man, that those guys helped bring that band back from the dead, you know, single-handedly when they did that collaboration. So, you know,
that's,
you're going to see
right.
Everybody from DMC to Taylor Momsen from the Pretty Reckless, you
cool.
know, to Gary Holt from Exodus, to, you know, Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, you know,
awesome.
Another band that's considered classic rock, you know. So you're going to really get, you know, we're going to have Ace come back, you know, who we just talked about.
Right.
So it's really, you know, I like doing that because, you know what, at the end of the day, it's just all rock music, you know, and it's spanning, you know, the gamut of from the heaviest to the heavy to, you know, classic rock bands to, you know, just to some of the newer stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, outside of that metal show, what have you got going on right now?
Absolutely nothing.
Awesome!
Yeah. I'm sitting in my house and with my pair of heavy metal socks on, and I'm talking to you. Like, no, you know, I tour all year round, like, you know, most comedians. You know, I'm always out on the road and doing my thing, and Eddie and Jim and I, you know, from the TV show, we go out and do live shows in different cities. So, you know, you could check out all my tour dates with that and my solo ones at my website, donjamison.com. You know, I'm always out there, out and about doing my stand-up. And, yeah, I'm going to do some festivals coming up this summer, you know, Rock on the Range, and doing a Monsters of Rock cruise, which will be really fun. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff, just keeping the metal and comedy alive.
Awesome, man. Gosh, I think we covered everything so fast.
Exactly. You know, what more do you need? You know, you put on a Ramones album, and 20 minutes later, you're like, that was a killer 20 minutes. You know, I didn't need 40 minutes. I got 20, but yeah, man, just it's been good, man. And I'm getting out and doing some conventions and you know, keeping busy, man. Just trying to pay the mortgage here in New Jersey.
I hear you.
Good luck with all your stuff, and people who should also watch out. You were nice enough to give me one of your custom shirts, and it will be seen on this coming season of That Metal Show. So people should do it just for that.
Hey, all right. That, if nothing else, you could see the shitty artwork, boys and
just
girls.
Just to see Brian Stewart's original design on the TV.
On the boob
well
tube.
Worth it.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We are out of time. Be sure and visit brianstewart.com, and be sure to go to Don Jameson's website. Be sure to go to Fangoria. Go to Misery Perfectum. Go to see your mom. Go to church. Go to the grocery store. Go to your local civic center. Go to the local YMCA. Go to the Equator. Go to the Grand Canyon. For God's sake, get up and go somewhere. And remember... Did you remember? Well, if you can't remember, I'm not going to tell you. Good night. 60.